Amen. Well, it's a joy to be here this morning. Get out my clock where I can kind of keep up with what time I start so I can stop on time. I usually don't have any problem with time. I'm not nearly as long-winded as some of the brethren. It's not that I don't have as much to say. I just don't have as much to say at one time.
Yeah.
I try to be mindful of the time. I've realized the mind cannot receive more than the seat can endure. And I try to keep that in mind when I preach. It took me a long time to get where I was able to preach an hour. And it took even longer to get to where I didn't have to.
Yeah.
So I heard a long, long time ago that anybody that knew enough to preach an hour should know enough not to. I'll stay within my time frame easily enough. Now, I've been at this a while, not as long as some of you. I've only been preaching a little over 55 years. And I've never gotten good at it. I'm still practicing. I'm still learning. I'm still trying. And the Lord being my helper, I'm going to keep right on up until they close the lid on me. Or the Lord comes. And that's what my plan is. I plan to be faithful right up to the end. My brother that we put his body into the ground a couple of weeks ago, he stayed faithful 65 years in the gospel. I've got a brother just older than me. He's been preaching 45. And another brother younger than me, he hadn't been preaching nearly as long, but we all plan to stay with it right on through to the end. And God's been good to us. And I'm thankful for that. It's a way of life. Somebody, well, what would you do if you couldn't preach? I said, I don't know. I guess I'd just die. What else is there? But anyway, I want to take a few minutes this morning. Somebody said, are you going to lower the hammer? I said, no, I'm just going to make a few comments and I'm going to get out of the way. I look around and I see folk today that I believe want to live for God. I really think we want to live for God, but how are we going to do that? How are we going to do that? I think we know, but we need to be reminded. There are people in the Word of God, or there were people that they started out pretty good, and then they kind of fell by the wayside. And then they'd kind of get straightened out again, and then they would walk with the Lord for a while, and then they'd fall out again. And it would just happen over and over and over and over. And that's happened with some of us. We'll do all right for a while, and then we'll get messed up. And things happen in our lives. And those things cause us sometime to go astray and not be what we ought to be. And I want to focus this morning on walking with the Lord. And how can we do that, and how do we do that? How do we walk with the Lord? So I want to look in Deuteronomy chapter number 8 as a kind of a springboard. And this will not be expositional as such, but hopefully there will be some exhortation in it. Deuteronomy chapter number 8, I want to read the first 6 verses. Deuteronomy chapter number 8, I want to try to give you time to find it. I always hate it when folks start reading before I can find my text. Now, if you can't find it, we're not going to wait on you long. I don't have that much time. Deuteronomy chapter 8, the first 6 verses. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do. Now, there's your first key right there. That ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember, and boy, there's another good key right there. We could just stay right here and preach this expositionally. All the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Amen. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. I read that one twice. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. Now, you're going to find everything that I have to say this morning in these 6 verses. Now, I'm not going to go back and take them verse by verse, but everything that I have to say will be here. Now, in this passage, Israel is reminded of the straits that they were brought into. And they were brought into these straits or into these tight conditions, into these hard times, to humble them and to prove them. I mean, we find ourselves sometimes in some hard situations. And God brings us many times into those hard situations to prove us. Now, not so that God can find out what we're made of, but so that we can find out what we're made of. Do you think that when God came to Adam in the Garden of Eden and said, Adam, where art thou? That God did not know where Adam was. Now, you've heard that 1,000 times, I know. But God knew where Adam was. Adam needed to know where he was. Israel, at this point, needed to know where they were. They needed to understand what their relationship with God was. Sometimes things come about in our lives so that we will understand where we are with God. I have found myself at times flat on my face having to face where I was with God. Now, God knew where I was. He never had forsaken me. I had a promise. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But I sometimes felt like he had, but it was because of where I was, not where God was. So these were the conditions they were in. And notice the supplies that they were granted. He granted them food, manna. Now, one time, my manna was a half a head of cabbage. My wife and I were in college in Springfield, Missouri. And all we had in the house to eat was half a head of cabbage. I didn't even have any cornmeal to make cornbread to go with the cabbage. I didn't have anything else. I didn't even have a hot dog. And I love hot dogs. I had half a head of cabbage. But God had supplied a half a head of cabbage. What did we do? We ate half a head of cabbage. And the next day, there was food in the house. God provided. God provides for us even in those conditions. We don't understand it sometimes. He provided raiment. I remember when I first went into evangelism. I've been in evangelism now. This is my 37 years. 37, I can't even believe that hardly. 37 years, I went into evangelism, I had a sport coat. Now, thankfully, I did have pants to wear with it. But I did not own a suit. I was in a camp meeting in Smyrna, Mississippi, and they took up money and gave me money to buy a suit. I left there and went to Indiana to preach a revival meeting. The pastor took me to a suit store, and I bought, with the money that they gave me to buy a suit, I bought two suits. I wore those suits till I wore them frazzling out, I'm telling you. But I had two nice suits, and God has provided. I think right now in my closet, and I haven't counted them, but I think I've got about 10 suits. Some of them are $300 and $400 suits, and I didn't give a dime for one of them. God has provided them. He provided the raiment for the children of Israel. He provided it. I've been telling some folk I just bought this little car out here. First time I've had a car payment in over 20 years. You say, well, why? Because God has provided every vehicle I have had to drive over a period of somewhere around 20 years. And you say, well, why did he provide this one? Because he's going to provide the money to pay for this one. You say, well, do you believe that? I believe it as sure as I believe I'm standing here. God provides for his people. He provided for the children of Israel. He provided their raiment did not wear out, their shoes didn't wear out, their feet didn't swell. So not only the straits they were brought into, the supplies they were granted, but the sorrows they had experienced, they were chastened that they might not be condemned. I have experienced some chastening along the way, and you have too. You have too. Hey, if ye are not chastened, he says you're illegitimate. You don't belong to him. My soul, I got beat when I was a kid. I didn't get beat by the neighbors. They got beat by my parents. My boys got tore up. I tore them up. I beat their backsides. I wanted them to grow up to be men that would walk with God, not heathen. I chastened my children. Why? Because I loved them. I loved them. And God will tell you right quick, if you don't chasten your children, you don't love them. The Bible tells us that. And God chastened Israel along the way, and he'll chasten you along the way when you don't walk with him. Not as a man wounds his enemies to destroy them, but a man chastens his son whom he loves for his welfare. In this passage, we see his commandments in verse 1, rules and laws are given. We see their carefulness that is encouraged. They are to observe, to do his commandments, and that the completeness, all his commandments, not just some of them. We don't get to pick and choose. I think about some back in the early days of my ministry, in particular when I was pastoring. We had some folks that said, well, you know, you've got to sin a little bit every day, and so I'm going to pick the ones I like. Well, I mean, that's the way they lived, you know. I had one guy told me, he said, well, you know, preacher, said, me and God have an understanding. Have you ever heard that one? I said, yeah. I said, God does understand, but God does not condone your sin, and neither will I. And so they quit church. Not only completeness, but in verse 5, chastening. All right, now I've come to my message. How do we walk with God? I want to give you three things and I'll be through. Y'all have heard that before. But I'm going to give them to you quick. First of all, if we're going to walk with God, we must be fixed on him. God didn't want Israel walking around with their eyes on the world around them. He didn't want them walking around with their eyes on the idols of the nations that were around them. But he wanted them walking around with their eyes fixed on him. We're to keep his commandments. I told you, everything that I'll preach is right in this text. Psalm 57:7 says, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Psalm 112, verse 7, the latter part says, his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. I think about Daniel, when he was carried into captivity, and they were going to feed them with a portion of the king's meat. And Daniel purposed in his heart that he wouldn't eat it. And he requested. You know, sometimes we're too adamant and too hard and too just, you know, just bless God, I'll tell you one thing, I'm not going to, and we growling and we grumbling. He requested of the chamberlain. Now, when it came right down to it, he would have been like the Hebrew children were later on and said, we'll not do it. But it didn't get that far. He requested. Give me 10 days. Let me just show you what God can do.
Right. Amen.
Sometimes you don't have to be mean and ugly.
No. Right.
You don't have to. Sometimes, if you'll just be a gentleman or a lady, you can get your point across without having to be like they are.
Thank you. Amen.
And they gave him the bread and the water, and when they came back, and they checked, they found out that they were looking better, had rosier cheeks, and they'd gained a little weight. And they just took the king's meat away and let him serve God. Well, that's a good thing, wasn't it? But what I'm saying is, their heart was fixed on God. Now, later on, it was a different situation. A different situation. He said, you're going to have to do it. You've got to do it. And he was a growling. And they said, we're not careful to answer thee, O king. Oh, no. Said, we will not bow down.
Amen.
We will not. We cannot.
Right.
We can. Now, the time may come that you may have to back your ears.
Right.
And you may have to stand firmly against the world. You may have to do that. They may not want to listen to you. And you may have to stand your ground. And if you do, if it means you go in the fire, you may have to go in the fire. If it means you have to go in the den of lions, you may have to go in the den of lions. Yes, it may come to that. And if it does, it does. But your heart must be fixed on God. If you're going to follow him. I have had to withstand my family. I had to withstand my own family to the point that I was not welcome in my parents' home. Was told not to come. But I want to tell you this. When it came down to where the rubber met the road, and my daddy was dying with cancer, this old boy's the one that he wanted to come and show him how to be saved.
Amen.
You may have to withstand him, but later on it may pay off with dividends.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, be fixed on him. Well, let me move on. Not only be fixed on him, but follow him. Follow him. We've got a world of people today following everybody and everything. We've got folks following after, what's that woman's name? Somebody called her the Pope of the convention now. Beth Moore. They're following her. And so they'll follow her right off a cliff. We've got people following that grinny guy, that toothy guy out in Houston, Texas. That I don't remember his name, don't care. Joel Osteen. They're following him. They'd follow him. I mean, no matter where he leads, they'll follow, you know. They think he's the best thing since sliced bread. They'll follow anything. They'll follow that guy out at Saddlebrook Mountain or whatever that is out there. They'll follow all these people. They'll follow false doctrine wherever it leads. They are absolute. People are out of their minds. People have always followed after idolatrous religion.
Yeah.
They have always done it. And Israel could not wait. Could not wait. Moses went up on the mountain to get with God and find out what God wanted for Israel. And after 40 days, they said, we don't know what happened to this man. We need somebody. We just need a God to follow. Well, what was wrong with the God they had? And so they said to Aaron, said, get us a God to follow. And so he said, we'll break off your earrings. And they broke off their earrings and they got their rings. They threw them in the fire. And they said, out came a calf. Well, that's the stupidest thing in the world. There wasn't no out came a calf. He took it all and he made a molten calf. Now, he might have told Moses, out came a calf, but he just made that up. Y'all know that, don't you? He just made that. There wasn't no out came a calf. He made a molten calf, and he said, here be thy gods, O Israel. And they bowed down and worshiped. Now, they called on the name of Jehovah, but they worshiped what they could see. And that's what people are doing today. You better mark my words. They're calling on the God of heaven, but they're worshiping what they can see. They're jumping up and down and praising the team that's on the platform, and they're praising the church that they're in, and they're doing all that, but they're worshiping, they're calling on the name of God of heaven, but they don't know him. They're worshiping their worship. They're worshiping what they can see. And that's what Israel wanted to do, but they're not following him. Preacher, how do you know that? By the way they live when they go home. They're still cussing. They're still in drunkenness. They're still doping. They're still in adultery. They're still doing everything they did before they went to the house of God. You understand what I'm telling you? I'm talking about if you want to live for God, you're going to have to follow him. He's going to have to be your God on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And again all day on Sunday. Y'all sing the song in the little Heavenly Highways hymnal. Says, ain't it a shame? Ain't it a shame to lie on Sunday when you've got all day Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? And all day Saturday, rather. Ain't it a shame? And that's the way people are living. They are living that way. And they're calling it being a Christian. Follow him. Psalm 65:8, my soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now there are other sheep that don't follow him. Now how do you know that? He said, because my sheep. So there must be other sheep. That's the English lesson for today. If he has sheep, if he says, my sheep follow me, then there are other sheep who don't. In other words, there are sheep who are not saved. Oh, and by the way, a goat never becomes a sheep. A goat is a goat is a goat is a goat. And I always will be a goat. Have you ever seen? Now they try to make turkey taste like beef. But turkey is still turkey. It'll always, turkey bacon is still turkey. It's turkey. And a goat is a goat. Sheep are sheep. And who did he come to? He came to the lost sheep. Lost sheep. He never said a thing in the Word of God ever about saving goats. No. If you find it, read it to me, and I'll get up publicly and say I was wrong. But he did say this. He said, my sheep follow me. And all this crowd running around out here that won't follow him? Huh? My sheep hear my voice. And when the preacher gets up and preaches the word of God and the Holy Ghost of God is moving and you will not hear what thus saith the Lord. Oh, I've seen him. And Brother Barney likes to sit with his arm folded, and I don't mean this against Brother Barney. But I've seen him do this.
I don't care what that preacher says. Have y'all lived there, hadn't you? I don't care what that Bible says. I've heard them say it. They've said it to my face. I don't care what that Bible says. They are not of his sheep.
You hear me? I'm not up here trying to start a stink or nothing like that. I'm just telling you that my sheep, Jesus said, follow me. Oh, by the way, he went on and said, and another they will not follow. Well, Ephesians 5:1 says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. If you're going to be a follower of anybody, follow the Lord.
Right.
Follow the Lord.
Right.
Well, I know this preacher. Well, praise God. I'm glad you do. But if you're going to follow anybody, follow the Lord.
Yes.
But this preacher, if that preacher's wrong, I'm sorry, tough. If you're going to follow anybody, follow the Lord. Now, I'm just going to tell you, I love my pastor. I love my pastor. He's one of the best preachers on God's green earth. He is. I love him. Now, he and I don't agree on everything. I follow him as he follows the Lord. I remember old Brother Marty Few. Anybody in here know Marty Few? Old Brother Marty Few preached one Sunday. And he got through preaching, went to the back door, and this woman said, I just want you to know I don't believe a thing you said. He said, hee, that's all right, lady. I didn't believe half of it myself. But that's Marty. But follow the Lord. And the last thing. Let me give you this. I got 6 minutes. I didn't think I'd go this long. If you're going to follow the Lord, fear him. Psalm 112:1 says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Proverbs 1:7 tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear him. Now, I've heard all of my life, and by the way, it says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I've heard all of my life that to fear the Lord does not mean to be afraid of him. It just simply means to reverence him. I've heard that all my life. Well, it does mean that. It means so much more. It does mean to respect him, but it means so much more. It means to be afraid of him. That word fear means just exactly what it says. Fear. When we're told that we're to know the terror of the Lord, that's talking to saved people. And terror is a whole lot more than just reverence. It's a whole lot more. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. We're to fear him. Now, I loved my daddy. I did. I feared him. I did reverence him. I did respect him. But I was scared to death of him.
Amen.
Why? Because he'd beat the devil out of me. You better remember we still have a chastening God. He will take you to the woodshed. He's not going to let you just get by with doing just anything. If you belong to Him, He's not going to let you get by with just any cotton-picking thing you think you want to do. If you are His, He will keep you in line. Do you remember reading over in the book of Hebrews, or rather over in the book of, what's the 1 Corinthians, where it's talking about the taking the Lord's Supper, where many take it unworthy for, they take it unworthily for this cause many are sick among you and many sleep. Why are they asleep? They've been chastened unto death.
Right. Thank you, brother.
I mean, God just don't put up with some things. He just don't put up with some. We better understand that if we're going to follow Him, we're going to have to fear Him. If we're going to live for Him, we'd better fear Him. God just doesn't put up with the kind of things that we think He puts up with. I have three boys. My three boys love me. They do. They love me. I have no doubt whatsoever that my three boys love me. And my boys to this day, if one of them says something to me, he'll say, yes, sir. To this day, 52, 50, and 48. That's their ages. I'm talking about to this day. Why? They still respect me. But when they were growing up, they not only respected me and I demanded that they respect me, but I commanded their respect in the way I lived before them. But they feared me. They knew I wore a belt and I couldn't double my belt to give them a whipping. I had to double it and then double it again because it would wrap around and come back and hit me. And that old saying, this is going to hurt me worse than it hurts you, was true. And so I'd tear them up and they feared me. This is the problem with the world. Romans 3:18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. And that word, and I don't use Greek much. I don't like using Greek when I'm preaching because I'm an English person. The word is phobia. It's the word we get the word phobia from. Phobos or something like that. But it's the word we get the word phobia from. And that's a fear. It's a deep-seated fear. And there is no fear of God before their eyes. If we're going to follow God and live for God, we had better fear Him. Be fixed on Him. Follow Him. Fear Him. Walk with God. My time has just expired. I am through.